Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Storms are causing tornado warnings and reports of hail in the Midwest are on the way to our area. We've issued a WRAL weather alert day for tomorrow because those storms are about 24 hours out. Good evening and thanks for joining us this evening. Anthony Baglione joins us right now, and this is the focus right now.
It is, yeah, certainly. We've been watching this storm system, Julian, push through places like Indiana, your old stomping grounds here, causing those tornado warnings, and it's really going to get closer in our direction as we head into the day tomorrow. We are not looking at widespread tornado warnings. I want to emphasize that. The tornado threat is rather low. It does look like damaging wind gusts and some large hail would be our primary threats tomorrow. Let's talk about that, though. We've seen this Storm Prediction Center expand, actually, and bump up that risk. We were talking about this last night. I was saying those ingredients are certainly there. And overnight, they did bump that risk up to a level 3 out of 5. We also have still that medium risk of flooding here heading throughout the day. I will say, though, this could be a key player if we see more moisture in the morning up until lunchtime, as some of the models are showing. That will help to limit that severe potential. So that is what we would want to happen. So there's 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. I do think we could see some isolated showers. No severe weather to start tomorrow morning. We're going to be good to go. There's lunchtime. There should be actually a decent amount of dry time here until this storm system gets here. Again, though, if we see more rain in the morning, that will be a good sign. And if you look up and see more cloud cover, that will limit that potential as well. Nonetheless, still stay weather aware. There's 5 o'clock tomorrow evening at about 6 o'clock. Notice that pink and this line. It's going to be a really strong line continuing to push off to the coast. And we had later on in the evening, let's say by about 11 o'clock or so, Julian, this should all start to push out. But we will walk through the specific threats here, this entire storm system and some very hot temperatures coming up in just a few minutes.
All right, Anthony, we are glad you're watching it for us. Well, we do want to remind you about the WRAL weather app. It will alert you to any watches and warnings in your area. It's free to download on Google Play and the Apple App Store. Well, here's a situation we are watching very closely. Multiple power outages are being reported in the Wake Forest area. Several Wake Forest power customers have called WRAL News today concerned about this big, big issue. Let's bring in WRAL's Shelley Jackson. And Shelley, what have you found out so far?
Well, Julian, I just spoke about half an hour ago with Wake Forest Power. They say they are aware of the issue. They are trying to figure out what is causing the issue and from there how to fix it and prevent it from happening again. Now, we've experienced some of those outages ourselves out here. We're on White Street in downtown Wake Forest. This is what's been happening. I've talked to several Wake Forest Power customers today. They told me they've been experiencing intermittent power outages today and yesterday. This is a map that you're looking at of the coverage area. The light green area is served by Wake Forest Power. They have about 7,000 customers, and about 1,000 customers are experiencing these blackouts. One man I spoke to told me he had counted 13 power outages just today. He said they were happening every 8 minutes and that the power was off long enough that all of his appliances had to be reset. He also said it happened yesterday for about 3 hours from 3 to 8 o'clock at night. Another woman told me she had counted 19 power outages today over just a 3-hour period. We were also in a local smoothie shop talking to folks there, and the lights went off when we were there discussing the power outages. So Wake Power customers have told me they've tried to call Wake Power and have not been able to get any answers. And when I spoke with the spokesperson, he told me they are trying to fix this and they will have an update tonight at 7 o'clock. And again, they are not sure yet what is causing the issue, but they will let everybody know what is going on at 7. Julian?
We will look forward to that update. Shelley Jackson reporting live in Wake Forest tonight. Thank you. An apartment fire in Raleigh sent a child to Wake Med with minor leg burns. The fire broke out on the top floor of the apartment building on Roseville Court this morning. Firefighters had to cut a hole in the roof. That helps move the heat and smoke out of the building. And if someone is trapped in the building, that increases the odds of surviving the fire. There was extensive damage inside and water damage to the units. Now, 5 residents were displaced in the fire. The Red Cross is helping them out. No word yet on the cause. An accidental fire damaged a dozen vehicles in Durham this morning. Look at this here. Firefighters arrived shortly after 7:30 a.m. to a BMW dealership on Kington Drive. They found multiple vehicles on fire and quickly put out the flames. 4 vehicles had substantial damage and the 8 others had varying degrees of damage. The division chief says a prior history of problems with one of the vehicles was responsible for the fire. Take a look at this Facebook post. The Lee County Sheriff's Office says there was an accident at the Raleigh Executive Jetport. Deputies arrived to find a plane on its top. The pilot was not hurt. The Highway Patrol is investigating. We don't know yet what caused the accident. The Wagner mercenary group may have ended their rebellion against Russian President Vladimir Putin, but what happens now is anyone's guess. We have more about the consequences that could be faced in the coming days.
The uprising was over almost as quickly as it began. Crowds cheering in the streets near Russia's military headquarters in the city of Rostov-on-Don late Saturday after mercenary chief Yevgeny Prigozhin called off his insurrection. The Kremlin says the mercenary leader cut a deal to stop his Wagner forces from advancing towards Moscow in an armed convoy.
This is an unfolding story, and I think we're in the midst of a moving picture. We haven't seen the last act.
Despite the truce, Secretary of State Antony Blinken warns the situation between Russia and the mercenary group isn't done playing out. Russia says it's dropping charges against Prigozhin, and he agreed to leave the country for neighboring Belarus. While the city of Moscow is no longer under immediate threat, the incident called into question Russian President Vladimir Putin's authority.
The immediate crisis may be averted, but the longer-term consequences will ripple out and are changing Russia's political landscape.
It remains unclear how much the short-lived insurrection will weaken Russia's efforts in its war against Ukraine. Ukrainians are optimistic that the Russian fighting will create opportunities for their army to take back territory seized by Russian forces.
We support Ukraine. We want to stop this war, this absolutely crazy war that started for absolutely nothing. Ukraine never was dangerous for Russia.
Ukraine's defense minister telling Fox News that the counteroffensive will be a game changer, a pathway to the end of the war once it gets going in earnest. In Kyiv, Greg Palka, WRAL News.
Wake County deputies identified the suspect in a stabbing that sent a juvenile to the hospital with a serious injury last night. 28-year-old Octavio Rodriguez faces a charge of assault with a deadly weapon, inflicting serious injury. He's in the Wake County Detention Center under a $25,000 bond. Now, the stabbing happened outside Gooch Sports Arena on Knightdale Eagle Rock Road. There was a fight inside the rodeo arena. Investigators say it spilled outside into the parking lot where the boy was stabbed. We don't know his exact age or name. Another man was cut, but the wound wasn't serious. North Carolina Republican lawmakers want to send millions of taxpayer dollars to private schools. Most of those schools are religious. It has some wondering about the separation of church and state. WRAL's Education Insider dug into that court ruling on that question and talked to people with strong feelings on the issue. Court rulings have increasingly favored public dollars for private schools, even religious ones. Read more at WRAL.com/education. A local nonprofit is training women to become skilled construction workers. Coming up, the exciting announcement today that will expand its efforts. Plus, a massive update from the Carolina Hurricanes. The team's captain is here to stay. Coming up later in sports, WRAL's Casey Hintz will walk us through the terms of the contract between the Canes and their captain. Ah, look at that beautiful view right there. A couple of clouds in sight. All right, welcome back. An effort to train more women in the field of construction is gaining more steam right here in our backyard. Today, Hope Renovations in Carrboro held an open house. The nonprofit trains women to fill jobs in construction. Currently, about 10% of construction workers nationwide are women. Hope Renovations trainees gain the skills all while helping seniors make repairs to their homes. This afternoon, we found out Hope Renovations is expanding.
So our big announcement today is that we were awarded a grant from the Department of Commerce in partnership with the Capital Area Workforce Development Board that's going to start up a Hope Renovations in Wake County. So we're actually going to be able to take our classes and put them on site at Wake Tech's campus and start up Hope Renovations 2.0.
How exciting is that? Now, if Nora looks familiar, that's because she was a finalist for the WRAL Voters' Choice Awards for Women of the Year, and she is also a CNN hero. Congratulations, they are doing great things there. Well, volunteers in the city of Raleigh help save millions of dollars each year by dedicating their time to help others. As the city expands, an effort is underway to make sure no one is left behind. WRAL's Laura Levine explains how an event downtown is connecting the dots.
On a warm summer day, Moore Square in downtown Raleigh is typically always pretty busy, but this time people are coming together for a greater purpose.
Well, the city of Raleigh is very serious about figuring new ways to engage our community and getting people to connect with one another.
Connecting pretty much sums up that mission. The organization Volunteer Raleigh with Connect Raleigh serves as a vessel to get people in touch with resources such as crisis support, youth and education, food security, health, housing, and support for seniors.
Once the pandemic has subsided, people really want to get out, and they recognize through that crisis time that there's a whole lot of felt needs that need to be met.
Grady Bussey with the city's housing and neighborhood department says because of that, volunteerism is back up. But as the city grows, so does the need. Volunteers provide more than 118,000 hours of service to more than 50 nonprofits and public agencies. The city says this saves the community about $2.6 million each year.
These organizations are gearing on the fact that we have quality people. And if we don't have the opportunities to give the public the chance to volunteer, or they don't have volunteers, they go away.
So a big effort is underway to make sure any and everyone can access opportunities to help or to get help.
Even if somebody comes out and one person is affected by the opportunity that we've cultivated a chance for people to get together, we've done our job well, because we don't realize the type of seeds that we sow until after the fact.
Laura Levine, WREO News, Raleigh.
Sow those seeds. To learn more about volunteering opportunities available, visit RaleighNC.gov. With temperatures hitting the 90s today, folks across our area spent the day looking for ways to beat that heat. Both kids and parents alike enjoyed the splash pad today at Moore Square Park. You can see here in this video right here, and others just enjoyed the day at the park.
Well, usually trying to stay, be outside, but be inside too, partially. You know, I like to be outside, especially after all that rain last week. This is a nice welcome change after all the rain. So you just got to come out and hydrate, hydrate, hydrate.
Ms. Brown said it best. Hydrate, hydrate, hydrate.
Yes.
You know, Anthony, we were complaining about the rain. Now we're complaining about the heat, and we soon may be complaining about what's behind you.
Yeah, I know. It just puts it into perspective, right? You know, just the rain versus severe storms and things like that. We are watching the system, Julian, that's going to push here into tomorrow. And so if you are headed out, let's say, to the pool, do it earlier rather than later. The severe storm potential should not affect you until the evening tomorrow. So just be careful. It's not going to be a good time to be outside at that point. Let's talk about where we sit right now, though. This is a kind of wider view on our HD Doppler network. It has been a very, very active day, severe weather-wise, in portions of the Ohio Valley. That red, those boxes you see right there, those are tornado watches. The littler ones there, the polygons showing up, tornado warnings. They have seen a ton of them. Confirmed tornadoes. I saw a report as well of grapefruit-sized hail. So it's going to be a very potent storm system for them tonight. We are not looking at a big tornado threat tomorrow. There is a very small chance of just a spin-up. The biggest threat for us is going to be some damaging wind and maybe some large hail tomorrow evening. We are under that level 3 risk from the Storm Prediction Center, level 3 out of 5 for most of our viewing area. That does drop off a little bit down toward Wilmington. We were watching this yesterday. If you were joining us for our 6 o'clock show and later on during the evening, I was saying, I think those ingredients are going to be there for us tomorrow. And sure enough, they did bump up that severe storm potential as well. We still have a medium risk of flash flooding for any of those storms that just kind of feed on themselves. Let's talk about Futurecast. Walk you through here. As we go through the rest of tonight, rest easy. It's going to just be a hot evening, no problems whatsoever. The storms that are up currently in the Ohio Valley, we may see some leftover moisture from that early tomorrow morning. It will not be severe weather to start. Most of the day is looking rather dry at this point. Lunchtime looking pretty good. We head to 3 o'clock. You're probably going to look out and still see lots of sunshine and wonder kind of where's the rain at. It does not come in until later, so potentially closer to that evening commuter. So there's 5 o'clock. I think by the time we head, let's say 6 to 11, I think is a pretty good time frame when we'll see this line pushing through. Could see some strong wind gusts, could see some large hail and a brief spin up tornado. The wind potential, though, is going to be our biggest threat tomorrow. And then most of this should be out of here by about 11 o'clock or so. There's a good summary for you. We've seen those damaging wind gusts kind of bump up there to that medium category. Can't rule out an isolated tornado. Hail, they mention in some spots of our state, not necessarily for us, but could be up to about 2 inches as you get closer to the mountains. We'll watch for some very isolated instances of that as well. Heat index values as well. So we have the storm potential and we have what it's going to feel like tomorrow afternoon. This will feed storms. It is going to feel potentially like 102 at 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. It is going to be an afternoon. Hydrate, hydrate, hydrate. Just like that lady said in our story a second ago. Very, very important to remember. We do have a severe storm potential as well into Tuesday afternoon. It shifts a little bit closer to the coast and it's only a level one at that point. So it should really start to diminish a little bit. But just stay weather aware here tomorrow and potentially again as we head into Tuesday. But that severe risk Tuesday looks a lot less. Here's where we sit right now. That's our weather alert day for tomorrow. 80% chance of showers and storms again tomorrow evening. Most of the daytime hours looking pretty good. 88 on Tuesday. Looks good, though, Julian, here as we head into the middle part of this week and maybe a few more storms into next weekend. But tomorrow is certainly a day to stay weather aware.
All right. We will be watching. Thank you, Anthony. Casey, Stahl is back.
Yeah, it's finally official after reported those reports yesterday. Carolina Hurricanes captain Jordan Stahl isn't going anywhere.
I'm just happy to be still kicking the can.
Details of the contract and what it means to Jordo coming up next.
From Peterborough, Jordan Stahl.
June 24th, 2006, the Pittsburgh Penguins drafted Jordan Stahl second overall. Then on June 22nd, 2012, the Pens traded the 23-year-old to the Carolina Hurricanes on his wedding day, no less. And today, September 29th, 2019, the Canes put the C on his chest, naming Jordo the ninth captain in Hurricanes history. And of course, today, June 25th, the Hurricanes officially signed the captain to a four-year extension, in essence, a deal that keeps Jordan Stahl here for the rest of his career. Now, in a statement, General Manager Don Waddell said, Jordan embodies what it means to be a Hurricane. His leadership has been an integral part of our success, and the impact he has made on our organization cannot be overstated. We could not be more excited to sign him for four more years. Stahl himself was all smiles this morning as the deal got finalized. Jordan Stahl is here to stay.
There was definitely no other place I'd want to be.
The captain signing a four-year contract extension that will average $2.9 million a season.
I feel like we've got some unfinished business, and I'm just super excited to be part of the organization and this group of guys.
The new deal also includes a no-movement clause for three seasons and a no-trade clause in the final year of the contract.
Everything about it just fit exactly what I wanted to finish off my career with. So I'm excited about it and it's going to be a lot of fun and a lot of good future memories.
Well, Stahl has been making plenty of memories as a Hurricane since 2012, but it wasn't until after he played out his 10-year extension with the team that he knew he had more to give.
I felt like I could still contribute to the group and really help a really good team win a cup. So I wanted to keep going.
The Canes captain will be 38 when the contract expires, and he knows he's at the tail end of his career. But he's ready to grind and help the team in any way, even if that sees his role change.
I'm going to fit in wherever I need to fit in. And I feel like I've done that last few years and just accepted my role and really just try to help the team and try to help the fellas play at the best of their abilities and win games. And that's all I'm here for.
Most importantly for Stahl and his family, staying four more years in Raleigh means staying home.
It's a great place and we all love it. And, you know, it's, like I said, it's been a blessing to be a part of the same team for so long and very proud and honored that they want to bring me back for a few more years. And I'm excited about being part of it.
Wait, tough day for former Duke star Leona McGuire. She was in search of her first major. She had a one-shot lead heading into the final round of the KPMG Women's PGA Championship. She bogeyed on back-to-back holes on 13 and 14. She'd go on to finish tied for 11th. China's Ren Yuing wins the Women's PGA for her first major title. And the NASCAR Cup Series rolls into the Music City tonight. Ross Chastain sits on the pole for the race. Green flag shortly after 7 p.m. right here on WREL. And Julian going on right now in the ninth inning, College World Series Game 2 between LSU and Florida. The Gators crushing the Tigers 19-3. So it looks like we're going to have a Game 3 tomorrow in the College World Series final. So
Game 3, not bad. I like a Game 3. I'll take it. All right, thank you, Casey. A group of bikers from North Carolina have completed a major goal, riding all the way to the snow-capped mountains of Alaska. Six members of the Fall In Motorcycle Club made the trek. Now, all of them are retired military with at least 20 years of service. The motorcycle trip helps raise awareness and funds for the group's mission to improve the lives of those in need and make a change. Way to go. They made it all the way to Alaska. I know they got some great stories to share as well. All right, that does it for us. Thanks for joining us tonight. For more news, weather, and sports, tune in to Fox 50 at 10 and then back here at WREL News at 11. All right, have a good one. We'll see you later.